It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. In recent months, several school boards across the state have been challenged because of their policies related to transgender students.
LGBTQ plus advocacy groups Fair Wisconsin and GSAFE have teamed up filing federal Title IX complaints about the school districts in question. Those districts include Winneconne, Muskego Norway, Abbotsford, Hartford Union, Kettle Moraine, and Waukesha.
I talked to representatives of the two groups filing these actions late last month. Abigail Swetz is executive director at Fair Wisconsin. Brian Jukums is senior director of education and policy at the group GSAFE. Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to be back.
And Abigail, thanks for being with us.
Really appreciate the invite.
And Abigail, let's start with you. And I want to situate this in what's going on with the latest White House ruling on Title IX and all the court cases going on. It's a little complicated. What is the current state of Title IX protections, especially when it comes to transgender students and other LGBTQ plus students?
Thank you for asking, because I think it's a little complicated for people to understand, but it's actually quite clear. The thing that we need to understand is that Title IX includes protections for LGBTQ plus students. That includes protections for students because of gender identity and gender expression, sex stereotypes, sex characteristics. That is all clarified in the current regulations that went into effect on August 1, 2024 from the Biden administration. But when I say clarified, I say it very specifically because, frankly, that was already the law in Wisconsin since 2017. The 7th District Court made it very clear in Whitaker v. Kenosha that gender identity protections are a part of Title IX.
There are court cases in many states around the country. The specific rule from the Biden administration blocked in many states right now. And of course, a change of administration could lead to a revisiting of what came through in August. Abigail, do you think that the ground may shift under this conversation over the course of the next few months?
I think there's a lot of shifting ground in general right now, but what we are absolutely steadfast in is that we believe that any action taken against including gender identity in Title IX is incorrect, illegal, and frankly immoral and cannot happen. And so our organizations, Fair Wisconsin and GSAFE, are absolutely steadfast in our commitment to our trans and non-binary students. I also just want to make it clear, not only will we not be deterred from ensuring every member of our community is protected and frankly respected, but I want you to understand that with the upcoming change in federal administration, it's true, we have received questions whether or not we will continue the work of filing federal civil rights complaints if we see anti-Title IX, anti-trans actions taking place. And the answer is yes, Title IX does protect LGBTQ plus students and staff, and we will continue filing. The other thing to keep in mind with the shifting legal landscape is that, again, it actually shows that it's less shifting than we realized, than we previously thought, because of a recent finding in the Title IX complaint against Owosso School District in Oklahoma. That finding that talked about gender identity being protected within the purview of Title IX was based on Title IX as it stood before August 1st. And again, in Wisconsin, since Whitaker v. Kenosha in 2017, it's been clear gender identity is included.
Brian, that takes us to the specific civil rights legal challenges under Title IX that your two groups have been working on in Wisconsin. They're different, possibly from district to district, but what are some of the common themes that are leading you to make these challenges?
Sure. Well, the district school boards have each fostered a hostile environment through actions taken during official school board meetings. So that includes eliminating, and Rob, we're talking literally striking out words, or excluding gender identity from the anti-discrimination policies detailing Title IX protections and or public statements during meetings, particularly from board members, and also the absence of any action taken to protect trans and non-binary students from discrimination when brought to the board's attention in meetings. As we review or as we're in person watching these meetings, it's very clear that members of the community are coming to them saying, don't do this, we need and we expect support for our trans kids. So when we think about them, these actions, they were taken with full knowledge of the potential legal ramifications that being out of compliance with federal regulations could have, as Abby talked about. We saw instances of district lawyers literally explaining those potential consequences in board meetings or other board members pointing that out. We just saw that in Watertown this past week. Although it also, we need to say that there are you know, we've seen at least one lawyer who claimed that the Department of Education probably doesn't have the capacity to investigate if any complaints arise, but we know that's not true.
And Brian, what are some of the specific protections that are either being specifically overturned in schools or maybe absent in the first place that you find particularly concerning?
Sure. Well, when we think about what are best practices for supporting and affirming trans and non-binary students in schools, oftentimes that includes areas looking at student privacy, looking at the names and pronouns that are going to be used at school. It's also about access to segregated facilities, such as bathrooms and locker rooms, overnight accommodations on field trips, how students' names get read at graduation, who's included in the classroom curriculum, and so on. You know, if we take Watertown as an example, two of the things that were most egregious in our eyes, one was their decision in their new quote-unquote gender guidance policy or gender support plan was to ban trans youth from using bathrooms that align with their gender identity. And this is very blatant discrimination and contrary to the Seventh Circuit Court ruling from 2017, the Whitaker versus Kenosha case, which really opens up the district or really any district that might follow Watertown's lead to an immediate lawsuit. It also leaves it up to individual staff to determine what name and pronouns they will use when referring to trans students. That also was very concerning to us because basically what they're saying is, well, you could use a student's name, but you don't have to. And what we know that happens is that when a student isn't consistently affirmed or name isn't used in a consistent way, that stands to out students on a regular basis to their peers. When an educator who's trusted to create a safe space for a student doesn't use the name that affirms the student and that the student uses, that gives permission to other students and other families that it's okay not to respect our students. So those two items in particular were of deep concern to us, at least in the Watertown case. And we see similar efforts being made in other school districts.
Abigail, can you talk about transgender and other students who might experience some of the things Brian just listed? What are your concerns about the potential harm for them?
Thanks for asking that question, because I think it's very easy to think of this only as policy, but we are talking about something that really impacts people on a day-to-day basis, these students, these staff who are trans, who are non-binary, and frankly, all the kids and all the staff who are listening to us make these arguments and sometimes listening to school board members who are saying really transphobic and hateful things. We have to remember that everyone is listening when we have these conversations and our children are learning from it. So one of the things that I think Brian just so eloquently put, and I'll really double down on, is that consistency really matters here. And so when we look at the studies that talk about the mental health and well-being of all our students, and including our trans and non-binary students, it really does show that the consistency of using the name and pronouns that a student has asked for absolutely buttresses their mental health and well-being in a really positive way in as many environments as possible. That includes school, that includes home, that includes the community. And so really all of us can play a part in affirming the young people in our lives and respecting the identities that they present us with. I'll also say that the Youth Risk Behavior Survey that is done through the CDC and DPI every other year, there was a UW researcher who recently analyzed some of the data from the last survey about trans youth. And one of the things that they found is that trans youth are more likely to go to a school professional with concerns for their mental health than other youth, than LGB youth or than cisgender or straight youth. And so knowing that trans youth are more likely to turn to a school professional and yet also do it at a very low rate, I think it's important that we make sure that our schools are these safe spaces.
We're talking about Title IX complaints against Wisconsin school boards with Abigail Swetz with Fair Wisconsin and Brian Jukums with the group G-Safe. I want to take a look at some of the arguments that people have made when it comes to some of these transgender protections, arguments against them. Brian, one thing we hear at a lot of the school board meetings we're talking about relates to pronoun changes, name changes for kids, especially at the elementary school and middle school level, and whether school staff have to notify parents. I could see, and we see parents saying, well, hang on, this is a big thing for my kid. Of course I would want to be notified. And part of this conversation, what would be wrong, Brian, with the policy saying, yeah, the school does have to let that parent know?
Well, one thing, Rob, is that it's a one-size-fits-all approach to students who are very different from each other, and every student brings their own unique experiences, as well as every family. So You know, what we know is that for over 20 years, schools in Wisconsin have been developing best practices around how do we bring families into oftentimes what can be really scary and challenging conversations with their children. Good policy that I've seen in other school districts point the school towards working to bring families into the conversation as soon as possible. We know that that's really important to the child's journey. But we have to do that in ways where the student feels safe and ready to have that conversation, and also make sure that the family who might just be starting a journey around their child's identity with that conversation, we want to make sure that that family has support as well, right, and has the resources that we need. If the approach is to just throw a child off the cliff and just hope that things go well for them, we know it doesn't go well, and we don't equip families to understand how to create the support that they need. And if I could circle back really quickly to your question about harm that you asked, Abby, we often talk about these policies as harming trans kids, which they do. But what we know is that they harm all children. I think about the very first family that I worked with about 20 years ago in my role at GSafe. And it was a family near Watertown whose straight, cisgender, white son was bullied out of school because he didn't act like the right kind of boy. And his peers picked up on that and teased him with homophobic and transphobic terms. And he left his school district because he didn't feel safe. So people advocating for these policies think that it's just about trans kids, but it could very easily be their kid next who gets targeted and isn't protected.
Abigail, another concern that gets brought up, and this was brought up in comments in the Watertown School District. A teen girl said she didn't feel comfortable at school. She worried that transgender-related policies on bathrooms would allow boys to claim they were transgender, go into girls' bathrooms. She felt potentially threatened by that. Again, this is something that comes up again and again in these school board conversations. What do you say to people with those concerns?
I think we have to meet people with any concern, really, where they're at with that concern. And so I'll meet it at a safety level. I 100% understand that sometimes things that we don't know a lot about, like, for example, someone else's transgender or non-binary identity, can feel a little scary, maybe even a little threatening. And what we have to keep in mind is that these are people who have their own privacy concerns as well. And that, frankly, going to the bathroom is a vulnerable situation for everyone and is usually far more unsafe and vulnerable for the trans or non-binary person than anyone else. And so creating that safety and creating that privacy and respect for someone who is one of the most marginalized identities in our country can really create safety for everyone. I'll also add that I know in the past there's been a lot of, even in Wisconsin, discussion around bathroom bills, which in some ways this kind of is, but at a school board level. And a lot of the things that have been really problematic about discussions about access to things like bathrooms has to do with how would one know such things without potentially outing someone or potentially really invasive questions. And I think we really need to make sure that we are respecting everyone's privacy. So I understand that not everyone has a lot of context when it comes to trans and non-binary identity. And it's something that we all definitely need to continue to learn about and listen to the people who are most impacted by these policies, and that is our trans and non-binary students. To which I'd actually just like to add a point. I'm a member of the LGBTQ plus community. I am not trans or non-binary, and I think it's really important that we always center trans and non-binary voices in these conversations. I also think it's really important that all of us stand up as really strong allies so that those people do not always have to be in the position of defending their own existence. And so Brian and I are here as very strong, strong supporters, but I just want to say that, of course, we need to always be listening to those most impacted as well.
Brian, you've mentioned you've been working on gender issues related to schools for quite some time now. How have you seen both opinions and discussions and then rules about transgender students change, evolve over the years?
Sure. Well, you know, Rob, one of the things that we have to remember is that in Wisconsin, we don't have statewide protections for our transgender students and community members, right? We have statewide protections based on sexual orientation, but not gender identity. So what I've seen over the last 20 years is that I've seen school districts across Wisconsin, both large and small, conservative and progressive, all corners of the state, work to pass policies that are inclusive and affirming of trans and non-binary students, and working to create guidance around how to implement that on the day-to-day basis, including in Waukesha, which, you know, until recently had, you know, people, I think, assumed that Waukesha wouldn't be a supportive school district. But what I've seen is good administrators and many educators and many families working to create safe spaces for our trans and non-binary students, although that recently changed with a new administrator and a new school board. So I'm definitely seeing good progress that many school districts have made over the past 20 years. I see that starting to slide, but I also see a recommitment from educators, from really engaged parents and community members, as well as students pushing back and asserting their right to feel safe and have access to a quality public education.
Abigail, what would you say to a school administrator and a school board who are not currently at the center of one of these lawsuits? They're considering their policies related to gender identity. They may feel pressure from various quarters in their local community, maybe getting online pressure from around the country, maybe even around the world. How can they sit down, craft policies that work, that pass legal muster in the midst of the heat that surrounds that kind of pressure?
I appreciate that question because, frankly, I really hope that the people who are trying to consider how to do really great policy reach out to GSAFE and FAIR Wisconsin, because we are organizations that are ready to help with that. GSAFE does incredible work in the form of training in terms of best practices. We, as FAIR Wisconsin and also GSAFE together, can really help administrators and school boards in figuring out how to make sure their communities really understand the importance of these affirming policies for all children to be able to access a high quality education. So GSAFE and FAIR Wisconsin are here to help with that endeavor. We understand that it is a difficult political situation, but we also want to make sure that everyone is really heard and seen and listened to. And we are organizations that are really well-versed in figuring out how to make that happen and for affirming policies to be the outcome of that conversation.
And Brian, with the lawsuits against about a half dozen districts now at this point, what is the timeline? When are we going to start seeing things coming out of courts on this, do you think?
Sure. Well, Rob, one of the things that's important to know is that one of the Title IX complaints, our first Title IX complaint that we filed with the Office of Civil Rights, actually got picked up this past week against the Kettle Moraine School District. So, and again, that was the first complaint that we filed, and we have several more complaints that we have filed or plan to file. So we do still expect the department to be looking at and taking up our complaints. We also know that, you know, that is a process and that might take some time, but it doesn't have to take a lot of time. What we know is that each of these school districts where we filed complaints or other school districts that have considered taking similar motions, they can take another vote and vote to adopt the Title IX guidance as written and affirm that trans and queer students have a valuable and important and protected space in their school community.
We'll leave it there. Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
And Abigail, thanks for being with us.
Of course.
That was Abigail Swetz, Executive Director at FAIR Wisconsin, and Brian Jukums, Senior Director of Education and Policy at the group GSAFE. We talked about Title IX complaints that they filed against several school boards across Wisconsin.